Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
Oh, that's new. Kind of caught me off guard. Okay, we have a new sting for Rachel, who is not new. Not that she's an El Hagaretan, but she's on the line. Rachel.
No, Jen, I think I am at this point. I'm fine with that.
You're absolutely far from it. But you got a new sting. Do you like it? Hang on, here's the bell. I'll turn it up for you. What do you think of that?
Oh, I like it.
Well, it's bouncy and cool. It's like yourself.
Yeah, you know.
Now, it's time for sex and relationship therapy. I don't think we've done this subject before. I don't think in all our years doing sex and relationship therapy, I think this is one thing we haven't covered, but we're going to talk about reproduction. What's it all about? What is it all about? Let's talk about child-free couples, couples who decide to have kids, who decide not to have kids, because I think it's becoming more common, but we're kind of a little bit behind with how we perceive them, how we react, and all that kind of stuff. So I need to ask you, is being child-free becoming more common or popular?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. So we're seeing more of a trend over the last, you're calling it a trend, but I don't think it's about it being the cool thing to do. I think people are just being maybe a bit more intentional about what they want for their lives. You know, we live so much longer than we did a couple of hundred years ago. You know, women have so much more kind of opportunity now rather than kind of being at home, but also have the choice to choose that. So a lot less people are having kids. And then there are people who, you know, of course, who really want to have children and can't manage to do that.
Yeah.
So we have a mix of people being child-free, where some people will call themselves childless because it was involuntary. And then you have child-free, which is generally the people who have chosen that voluntarily.
Okay, interesting the differentiation there. Do many people, women especially, still feel a lot of pressure to have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah,
loads. I think there's loads of pressure, you know, particularly around 30. I think the age is getting a bit older. Like, certainly probably 15, 20 years ago, people would be feeling a bit of pressure in their mid 20s. And now I would say it's kind of 30, 35, even up to 40 that people are kind of going, you know, I really want to put my career first. I want to do other things with my life.
I want to enjoy myself.
I
want to be able to go to the toilet without somebody annoying me. I want to be able to enjoy those lovely holidays where they don't let children into the hotel. Yada, yada, yada. But what are some of the reasons people are child-free then? I just mentioned the holiday scenario. But what are some of the reasons people are saying that I want to be child-free? Is it career being one?
So career is a big one. And actually one that's becoming more and more popular is the kind of state of the world. You know, the people with the kind of climate crisis, living under patriarchy, the injustice in the world. A lot more people are kind of going, actually, I'm not sure I would want to bring a child into this level of kind of chaos in the world.
Isn't it funny? Because there's always been injustice and chaos and misery in the world. It's just that we see more of it now because it's on our phones and we're so connected to every little piece of news and war and injustice every single
day. Right. Yeah, we have more awareness, which is not to say that actually overall the state of things is drastically worse. Okay, it probably is definitely worse in certain areas, but not others. In others, it's better, but it appears to be the same or worse because we're just hearing about it all the time. But certainly people, I think, are thinking about that because we are exposed to more information about what's happening in the world. So you could see upsides to that, downsides to that, all sorts of things. Then you have stuff like people like really valuing their sleep and their time for themselves. People often tend to feel that they can have better friendships and kind of time and energy to cultivate them if they don't have kids. Some people believe that they're going to have happier kind of romantic relationships, that they're going to have less workplace discrimination. You know, particularly women still, or any, you know, the person bearing the child is generally still going to find that there are, you know, assumptions made whether or not you have kids. But there are still assumptions often made, and often they're unconscious, you know, in organisations about the fact that you're of childbearing age, and so you're probably going to, you know, bow out for a bit to do that. You're also probably going to have a lot more money if you don't have kids. So these are some of the considerations anyway. It doesn't mean that all of those pan out if people don't have kids, but they are certainly some of the ones that people are thinking about.
Okay. Okay. So what are some of the disadvantages of not having kids, do you find?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, there's kind of a lot around A lot of people would really like to have the experience of being a parent. You know, they feel very invested. And so, you know, not having that, you know, although child-free people don't tend to regret it from what we have, you know, what we can see from the research, you know, there are a lot of people who are in that stage, probably in their, you know, in their 30s, later for, you know, men, where they're kind of going, is that an experience that I want to have in my life? So there can be a lot of kind of strife and suffering in the stress in the decision around, you know, having that kind of companionship of that type of family, you know, having a nuclear family. Then there can also be, you know, potentially that you don't have that sort of support and care for yourself from your kids when you're older. So that's definitely a consideration for some people. And then just kind of loneliness. Now, obviously, you can have lovely romantic relationships and just not have kids. But, you know, your kids are likely to be in your life for the rest of your life. And so, you know, that doesn't always happen with romantic partners. So there can be an aspect of feeling kind of disconnected, potentially, if you don't have kids.
Okay. I've got a couple of texts here I just want to read out to you. My husband and I are married for 19 years. We decided before we married that we did not want kids. We are child-free and we're very happy. We are there for nieces and nephews when they need us and we have no regrets. The next texter says, Jen and Rachel, myself and my partner are discussing this exact decision. What are the things that we should think about before deciding?
Right. Well, for to the first ones, I'm glad for them that they're happy. You know, again, as research shows, most people who are voluntarily child-free tend to not regret that decision. Now, they may have periods in their life where they kind of have some doubt around that, just like people who have children probably will. You know, most people are going to feel, you know, who have children are sometimes going to feel so exhausted or feel like they're not, you know, parenting as well as they could or whatever it is that they're going to, you know, temporarily regret it as well. So you're likely to regret it somewhat no matter what you do, which is, again, a kind of a blessing and a curse, I think. But yeah, the people who are happy about that seem to feel, you know, really sure in that. And you can also find quite a community these days because there's more people not having kids.
They're all going on fancy holidays and cruises and, you know, those child-free
They are. They're
events.
Just going on loads of cruises together and doing loads of swinging.
Yeah. So what about the couple who are discussing this decision and what are the things that they should think about before deciding? Like what list of questions or what should they really consider?
Yeah, so some things to really kind of think about is, you know, is having children something you feel deep down that you really want, or is it just something that you feel you should do? Are you feeling pressured by your, you know, could be partner, could be family, friends? In general, you're going to feel pressure from society because that just still exists. But, you know, it's going to probably take some time, you know, alone, together, possibly with the help of a therapist or some other kind of, you know, we have lots of kind of, you know, coaches now that specialize in working with people who are trying to decide whether to have children. You know, it's just to kind of get more of a handle on what is it about the experience that you believe that you would enjoy, that you wouldn't enjoy, that you feel fearful about, because sometimes, you know, you might find that your fears, like exploring them, can lead you in a certain direction where you might end up choosing something very different to what you had originally thought. When you imagine yourself as a parent, are you happy with what you think you'd be like? Now, obviously, we can never, and I'm sure you know
that's
this,
a great
Jen,
question.
You can have all the plans in the world for how you're going to be as a parent. Doesn't mean it's going to pan out like that. But if you're starting from a point of, oh God, I actually really think I'd be a tight parent, or I think I'd dread loads of this, then that might tell you a bit about it. Then some things like, how okay do you think you're going to be with delaying or compromising some of your own kind of goals, needs, interests in your life for the sake of a child? Because that's very likely to happen. Yeah, I think there's, you know, accepting the fact that a large part of parenting is unpredictable and may not match your expectations. And then how do you feel about your current life? You know, if you feel like your current life is very empty and that you would really be having kids just to try and fill that, that's probably not the greatest reason to have children. If you feel like your life is currently very full and you're afraid for that to change, well, you could look at the ways in which, you know, that is almost certainly going to change temporarily, but you might be able to work out a way that can happen by talking to your work, talking to your support network, all sorts of stuff that might mean that you can feel much more comfortable about the ways in which your life would change if you did have kids.
I know Miley Cyrus and Helen Mirren, for example, have talked about not wanting kids. Who are some other well-known people who are child-free?
Yeah, we've got loads more now. So, well, Oprah has been very famous as well. We've got Winona Ryder, Sarah Silverman. Who else have we got? Cameron Diaz. You know, there's people like Christopher Walken, Ricky Gervais, Chelsea Handler.
Chelsea Handler is very, yeah, I mean, and uses it in her stand-up quite a bit.
Yeah, she talks about it a lot. She has great video, you know, like her Instagram stuff is often about her sort of skiing naked going, well, I wouldn't be doing this if I had kids hanging out with me sort of thing. But then again, of course you can ski naked with kids.
Yeah, so of course. But it's nice to have that representation because there is this pressure. You know, there's this huge societal pressure even still. I mean, I know some child-free people in my life. But I do find, weirdly, it's more of a kind of a sensitive subject with the women who are child-free rather than the men for some reason. Would you say there is that extra pressure? Like if a man is child-free, we don't really bat an eyelid. But if a woman is child-free in her late 30s or 40s, we're always there's questions over that, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. Still hanging around.
Yeah.
It's definitely shifting, but, you know, I'm still seeing that absolutely. It's a bit like with parenting, you know, when a father is, you know, like looking after his kids, it's kind of seen as like, wow, isn't he a great dad? And look at him helping out rather than, well, this is him taking care of his own children. Whereas, you know, for mothers, that is, you know, still just assumed that mothers will kind of do the bulk of the work. Now, of course, there are fathers who are amazingly involved and who may take on more of a role in their children's lives than you know, their partner. But, you know, we're still seeing that trend existing. And so, yeah, absolutely. There's usually no questions asked as to men having kids. Now, partly that's because there isn't the same time constraint. If a man really wants to have a kid at 70, he can. Well, yeah. Some men can, you know, if they still have viable sperm and all that, then they can have kids. That's not the same for people with vaginas.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just means that there's a particular time pressure around that and a lot more kind of, you know, touchy, sensitive, because often women are just so exhausted of being asked, when are you going to have children? If they do have a child, when are you going to have the next child? How far apart are you going to space them? You know, are you going to parent this one differently? What schools are you going to send them to? What are you going to do about child minding and creche? How are you going to feed them? All of this stuff is just exhausting to do, never mind to have to prove yourself and justify yourself to the world around you.
Listen to this text. I really put my foot in it recently, Jen. I was in the middle of going on and on and on and on and on to a cousin at a wedding about how she and her husband should enjoy life because it all chains once kids arrive, when she cut me off to say that wouldn't be happening. And it was just so awkward. I legged it, went to bed at like 9 o'clock to hide from the cringe. You can feel the tension, can't you? So is there certain things that, or what are some of the things not to say to people about having children? Should we just not talk about it? Is this a subject are we not allowed to go there anymore?
Absolutely not. I think, you know, just being a bit sensitive when you start off, you know, kind of being maybe a bit self-aware about your kind of biases and assumptions.
You know,
if you can just sort of shift that language, you know, it's a bit like assuming that married people are, you know, a cis man and a cis woman, you know, that you can kind of just adjust your language a bit so that you can assume that, you know, well, just don't make assumptions, ask questions and, you know, ask people if they're happy to talk about it. Because again, let's say someone has been doing IVF, rounds and rounds of IVF, they're absolutely exhausted. Now, they may be very happy to have the support and the curiosity at times from, you know, kind of well-meaning person who's inquiring. But they also might just be like, look, I'm so depleted, I do not want to talk about this. So giving people the opening to kind of be like, oh, so where are you at with having kids if you're up for talking about that? You know, give people an opening to say, oh, thanks. Yeah, no, I'd kind of, you know, I'm a bit up to here with that at the moment. Or God, you know, I'm just in such a tangle over what to decide. Or, you know, people might just say, actually, I'd rather not talk about that. And that doesn't have to be awkward just because you asked. It's awkward if you've made, you know, a big assumption. And ideally.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
If you made a mistake, I mean, just say, I'm really sorry. That was, you know, my bad. You know, it's also not the end of the world and people are used to it. But you can just say, oh, I'm really sorry. But some sort of things not to say, you know, I would say saying stuff like, when you know, or if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Again, these are kind of assumptions that
unhelpful.
People will want to have kids or will have kids. You know, people will often say things like those feelings will come or you'll change your mind or something like, but you'd make an amazing parent. Why wouldn't you want to be? Or it could be stuff like you won't know real love until you have kids. Now, that's one that myth that's out there that I find. Now, it's very often feels very true for people who have kids.
No, you don't. Right? No, that is yeah. That one really gets under my skin because it's not love. I felt that love before. I love my parents, you know, unconditionally and my husband and my family yeah. And my some of my friends. Yes, I do love them unconditionally. But it's you never know fear like it.
No.
You never know fear, like even when you have a kid. Like it's the ultimate fear. Like I have to keep this person alive and the fear you feel, you know, it's not love. So don't be confused. A lot of texts are coming in on this and exactly right. What you said and what I have heard time and time again of groups of women, this being a conversation, women in their mid-20s and 30s. And this is what they're saying. Hi there, I've no kids. The state of the world and what's happening in the world plays a big role. But the main reason is I really don't feel I'd be mentally able to have a responsibility that huge to look after and to worry about. So I see my siblings and my friends with their kids and I really don't know how they manage to do it all.
Yeah. This one's really common, you know, and again, obviously, when you're in it yourself, it's not quite like most people are absolutely exhausted and, you know, in some ways just like having to kind of run on autopilot for the first couple of years of having a child because of the, you know, lack of sleep and the, you know, no matter how much you prepare, it's still going to be chaotic no matter how much support you have as well. Because the other thing is, you know, although we're getting better with kind of talking about and kind of providing support for parents, realistically, the nuclear family setup is still utterly exhausting for most people involved yeah. in that. And, you know, we are built for living in much more community. And when you see in kind of parts of the world where you have, you know, multiple parts of the family and lots of family friends, you know, in kind of tribes and communities are involved with kind of, you know, co-parenting, you might have, you know, 5 to 10 co-parents rather than 1 to 2 kind of parents. And that tends to work much better for people because obviously they can still have their own lives.
Another text in, Rachel. Any advice for people struggling to decide to try for a third child or staying as we are? We have so many pros and cons and we're just a bit stuck.
Oh, well, that one's kind of difficult, I suppose, without knowing more details of your situation. I'd probably recommend, you know, putting more detail into that for maybe a question to, you know, someone, a coach who specializes in this, or having a couple of sessions with a therapist who might be able to tease that out with you. Because, it's going to be down to a combination of the things that you recognize are important in your kind of life and lifestyle, you know, money, time, what that means for work, how it's going to impact your relationship with each other, what that's going to mean for each of the kids, your kind of quality time with them, what that's going to mean for, you know, your time with kind of friends and family. In some situations, it will increase the possibility of kind of support network having a third child, and in others, it's going to really reduce that. So I would say thinking about the kind of things that are, you know, what will your life really look like with a third kid in terms of money, how much kind of work stress you're going to have about around money as well, you know, because often what happens is people have more kids, they're having to work longer hours, you know, in jobs that they potentially really don't enjoy just in order to make enough money to provide things for the children that they feel that they really want, and then they don't get to spend the time with the kids.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Just lastly, are there particular words or acronyms used for child-free people that we haven't covered?
Yeah, so there's a few. We have PANC, which is professional and no kids. We have that one's for kind of like outside of the parents.
PANC, love it.
Yeah. So then we have DINK, which is double income, no kids. We have DINKER, that's dual or double income, no kids, early retirement. Then we have DINKY, double income, no kids yet. So, there's that one. And then we have another one that I love, which is GINK, which is green inclinations, no kids. So that's referring to people who choose not to have children
for the environment,
for environmental reasons. So,
amazing.
GINK.
I love DINKER and DINK. I love them all. I love all of those. And hopefully we'll see them on CVs so people don't have to specify
well,
themselves.
One more that I really hope becomes popular is DINKY WAD.
Well,
and that is double income, no kids yet, with a dog.
No, amazing. Amazing. Well, listen, whatever you decide to do, I hope you're really happy. Pros and cons to everything, each of their own. Just make sure you're making the right decision for you and not because you feel pressure to do something that maybe you're not sure about. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for joining us today. There we go. That is our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She is on Instagram, Rachel Jane Cook, if you want to follow her. And if you have any topics you would like covered on the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can mail me jen@rt.ie. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.